I want us to listen carefully to the scripture I'm about to read. In fact, I might read it twice. But let this sink in as I read it. It's 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. It says, "But he said to me," my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This is a great verse, isn't it? I mean, this guy must have really like been in like rejoicing party mode, like everything was going so well for him. Eh? No. The words of this verse that I've just read are born out of struggle. The Apostle Paul is not writing from a place of comfort. He's not writing from victory, but he's writing from a season where things are not going well. He has prayed repeatedly that God would remove what he calls a thorn in the flesh. You ever got a thorn in your flesh? Ouch! And it doesn't, you know, it breaks off and it sits there and it goes on and on, that little bit of pain, doesn't it? We have to gouge it out. He had prayed repeatedly that God remove what he calls a thorn in the flesh. No, he's not talking about an actual thorn. He's talking about something that is hindering him, that is causing him pain in his flesh. And we're not told exactly what that thorn is, and be intentional. Because if Scripture named it precisely, many of us would decide whether it applies to us. But because the thing is unnamed, it becomes personal. It could be a physical weakness, an emotional anguish, a spiritual opposition, an ongoing limitation, a persistent struggle. Whatever it was, the Apostle Paul prays for it to go, and God says no. God says nope. He doesn't say it with anger or with distance, with a promise to Paul. He says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Yeah, God does sometimes say no. Paul prayed three times for this thorn to be removed from him. Paul did not ignore it. He did not deny it. He brought it with an honesty and a rawness before God. And yet God did not remove it. And this immediately confronts a version of faith that assumes that God's goodness always means that God will deliver us from difficulty. But Scripture shows us something deeper than that. That sometimes God removes the burden, and sometimes God transforms the bearer of that burden. That sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes God strengthens the sailor who is going through that storm. And in this moment, God chooses not to take the thorn away from Paul, but to give something greater to him. Grace. Grace. God says to him, "My grace, Paul, is sufficient for you." The grace is not merely forgiveness. The grace is the active, sustaining, living presence of God in our lives. Grace is what holds us when answers do not come. Strengthens us when the healing arrives. Grace is what keeps us standing when the circumstances around us do not change. That God does not say, "My explanation is sufficient." Which means that what Paul needs most is not information, but he needs God himself. That sufficient means enough. Enough for the pain that we experience. Enough for the struggles that we go through. Enough for the long periods of obedience. Enough for the unanswered prayers that we cry out to God. That God does not promise Paul a life without weakness, but he promises Paul a life that will never be without his grace. He says, perfect. Maybe one of the most countercultural statements in Scripture. Because from when we are small, we are taught to hide weakness, to fix weakness, to patch things up and to carry on, to overcome weakness, to be ashamed of weakness. But God says, "My power is made perfect in weakness." Not despite weakness, but right in weakness, that my power is enough. That weakness is not an obstacle to God's power, but weakness is often the stage on where God performs his power in our lives. Because weakness does something that strength really does. And it makes room. A room for dependence on God. A room for prayer. A room for humility. A room where we can go to receive the grace of God. See, when we are strong, we are tempted to trust ourselves. Flows most clearly where our self-sufficiency ends. What Paul's talking about here is a different kind of victory. Paul does not say, "So I endured." He says, "Therefore." This is not a denial, but this is transformation. That Paul's thorn did not disappear, but his understanding of power changed. He stopped measuring God's faithfulness by his comfort. He began measuring it by God's presence. See, church, victory in the kingdom of God is not always escape. Sometimes it is endurance that is filled with grace. Sometimes it is a faith that seems to hold no matter what. That sometimes it is a joy that seems to survive all the way through a trial. And sometimes it's a love that remains with us. And all of this is power, the power of God. Then he says, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. This phrase that Paul uses here is beautiful. It means to dwell, to settle, to pitch a tent. That Paul is saying, when I accept my weakness, the power of Christ makes its home in me. Not visits, but rest. Which means weakness becomes a meeting place. Not a shameful secret, not a spiritual failure, but a sacred space where Jesus chooses to dwell. That God is not repelled by our frailty, but he is drawn to it because he understands it. So what does this mean for our individual struggles today? Yes, some of us, I reckon probably all of us, are carrying a thorn. These can be ongoing issues, persistent limitations, chronic struggles, unresolved grief, battles that prayer has not erased from our lives. And perhaps like Paul, you've asked God to take them away. And perhaps God has not. Not because God is cruel, but because he is present. And his grace is sufficient for each one of us. It may be the very place that God's work is clearest to us. See, it's the cross. The cross where power and weakness meet. Paul's words only make sense in the shadow of the cross. Because at the cross, God redefined power forever. Power did not look like dominion, but it looked like surrender. Power did not look like control, but it looked like sacrifice. Power did not look like escape, but like love that stayed. Jesus does not conquer sin by force, but he bears it. He does not defeat death by avoiding it, but he enters it. And resurrection comes not by bypassing weakness, but through weakness. Which means that weakness is not the end of God's work, but is often the beginning of it. Church, we need to learn to live differently. To believe this verse is to live differently. It means that we stop pretending that we are fine when we are not. We stop hiding what God wants to inhabit. We stop despising the places that God wants to use us. It means that prayer becomes less about impressing God, trusting God. It means unity becomes safer. It means worship becomes deeper. It's because grace shines brightest against the background of our need in our weaknesses. And some of you are very tired. You're tired of being strong. You're tired of holding it all together. You're tired of feeling like faith means never admitting weakness. But this verse sets you free today. God does not ask you to be strong. He asks you to trust him. And where you are the weakest, Jesus is not absent, but he is powerful and he is active. He is near to you and he is sufficient. That God did not say to Paul, my grace will be sufficient someday. But he said, my grace is sufficient. Enough for this moment, enough for this burden, enough for this season, enough for you. We don't need to worry about tomorrow's strength today. But we need God's grace today. And God promises that is something that He will never fail to give to us. So we do not need to boast in ourselves. But we boast in Jesus, who meets us in our weaknesses. And we trust God, who says to each of us today, my grace is sufficient for you. Hallelujah. Can we say that together? You say to Him, just say, how can we put this? God's grace. No. Your grace is sufficient for me. Come on, let's go. One, two, three. Your grace is sufficient for me.
Thank you, Lord.
That's freeing, isn't it? What's going to happen on Wednesday when you've forgotten about the sermon and about this verse? Write it down. So easy, you know. Where do we look the most in the day? At our phone. Am I right? We look the most at our phone, don't we? Numerous times in the day. Here you go. Type in this verse, bring it up on Google, screenshot it, and put it on as your wallpaper for this week. Yeah. How many times a day are you going to be able to say that? Your grace is sufficient for me, God. There's my challenge for you. Oh, maybe we're a bit ashamed that maybe our phones with the screen up and we're in the shop and somebody sees it and they go, oh, weirdo. Who's going to do that? Oh? Just one. Yeah, you can take a photo of that. Please don't take a photo of me and put it on your wallpaper. Somebody will try and steal your phone. You all got it? Who's going to say for me and end this? Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've got a closing song, Janet.